Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. This Saturday marks California Bookstore Day. 93 bookstores up and down the state will be celebrating. And according to those participating, quote, in a world of tweets and algorithms and pageless digital downloads, bookstores are not a dying anachronism. They are living, breathing organisms that continue to grow and expand. In fact, there are more of them this year than there were last year, and they are at your service, end quote. Independent bookstores are thriving. In California, they've survived threats posed by sites like Amazon, chain stores, and the recession. Those of us who live in the Bay Area and the Santa Cruz area are lucky to have a wide variety of independent bookstores. And today we are joined by three owners and co-owners. Casey Conerty Prati is the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. Casey returned to Santa Cruz to run daily operations in 2006 after serving as a consultant for the American Booksellers Association. And she joins us from the studios of KUSP in Santa Cruz. Hi, Casey. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. We're also joined by Pete Mulvihill, co-owner of Green Apple Books in San Francisco's Richmond District. Pete has been co-owner of Green Apple since 1999, and he has worked closely on making California Bookstore Day a reality. And Pete joins me in studio. Hi, Pete. Nice to see you again.
Thanks for having me again. Hi, Casey.
Thanks for coming in.
Hi.
And we're also joined by Paul Curatolo. He was just 7 years old when he started working at Walden Pond Books, which was opened by his father on Grand Avenue in Oakland in 1973. 40 years and two locations later, Paul is now general manager and is still working with his father at this landmark neighborhood business. There's a really great article about Paul and his dad, and you can find it at yourcallradio.org. Hi, Paul. Thanks for coming in.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Great.
Hi, Casey.
Hi.
Great story. So why don't we start off by talking about California Bookstore Day. Pete, you brought in a bunch of material, T-shirts, bumper stickers, posters, books. Where did the idea originate?
It's at its base, it's a ripoff of Record Store Day. I saw record stores having lines out the door at 6 in the morning and just sort of thought, well, book lovers are that passionate about what they love as well. And so, you know, can we make something like this happen? So I talked to my peers at the Northern California Independent Booksellers Association at Book Expo America in New York. I talked to publishers to see if they might support something like this. And then we reached out to authors and other stores to see if they were interested. And people seemed interested. We got incredible support from authors who have been very generous with their work. We got great support from publishers in New York who, despite independence being the sort of a small percentage of the market nationally, they mm-hmm. realized that we can make books, we can break books out, and incredible support from fellow booksellers. The fact that 93 booksellers up and down California agreed to buy all this stuff and carry it in their stores on a non-returnable basis, which is unusual, sort of sight unseen. We just told them, hey, it's going to be a cool book by George Saunders. You got to order it now. And they didn't have a cover or anything. Was pretty amazing.
Wow.
So we can talk about some of the stuff later. There are 13 items that are only for sale in bookstores in California, these 93 stores, never online and never in other states. So they're really kind of cool, limited stuff.
And Paul, we've done so many shows over the years about independent bookstores. I mean, during the recession, it was really hard for bookstores. There's a lot of competition online, a lot of price cutting. I think a lot of people would be surprised to learn that there are more independent bookstores this year than there were last year. What mm-hmm. do you think explains that?
Well, I think they've rediscovered the uniqueness of each individual community bookstore and the personalities of the staff and how the ownership and the staff is going to completely look out for every book you're looking for and have it in their store. And they've just become very necessary in communities.
And Casey, what would you add to that? Why do you think there are now more bookstores this year than last year?
I think it's a recognition that bookstores are the best place out there these days to discover books. And I think there's been a lot of change in the industry in the last number of years. And for a lot of time, we were really scared about what ebooks and the online world was doing. But after kind of everything was thrown against the wall, it's like the spaghetti on the wall metaphor. I think one of the things that kind of came out of that is that there isn't a way online to discover books. In the same way that you can get in a physical bookstore. And I think people have recognized that. They realize when they come into a store, there's people there that really know books, who can find the right book for them, who can they can go about this process of finding these gems, these things that might even change their lives. And in a bookstore is really a place to do that. And it's also a recognition that we have so much technology in our lives that it's time to take a step back from that and have those quiet times away from that technology, and that's being more and more valued these days.
Mm. And what are you hearing from people who come into the store in terms of, you know, what makes them go to the store rather than a website or even a store that sells books for half the price?
It's all about the service, I think. It's about the fact that there's knowledgeable people in the store, and they know that when we recommend a book, that we've read it, that we've loved it, that we cherish it, and that we want them to cherish it as much as we do. And you can't get that kind of personal connection online, and you can't, they know that if they perhaps get a discount, that they're taking away value from having that in their community. And a lot of people have seen a lot of stores go out of business, Borders bookstores, where there's no bookstore left in their community, and they understand that place and that role for bookstores to play in communities, and they really want to make sure that that remains in their own location.
And Paul, in the Contra Costa Times article about you and your dad, co-manager Bob Fisher said that Walden Books is about real people selling real books in a real store. We are not a computer guessing what you want.
No, definitely not. We're all avid readers, and we have individual connections with customers that have come in for years, and we just love sharing, you know, the newest book, your favorite book, your childhood book. We love seeing the discovery of, you know, it's really fascinating how children still love books, and they will, you know, really gravitate toward books more than a lot of their electronics. You know, the tactile experience of the book and the feel of the book and loaning it to your friend and having it on your shelf and rereading something you've read is just something we all love.
And what would you add to that, Pete? I mean, how are you all able to survive financially, given how difficult it is, especially in the Bay Area?
I think there's a lot there. And each store has its own complicated situation, depending on their lease. You know, I've seen a lot of stores leave just because of escalating rents. Each store does what it does in its own way well. Some stores are just focused on children's books. Some focus on used books because the economics are easier. Each store just has its own place in the community, and they engage in the community. You know, they sit on the board of the PTA, or they, you know, I sat on the board of my local rowing club for years. And then once, you know, a rower has a big book that comes out, we have a place to go do an event for a rower. So just that sort of the tie to the community. And Amazon's, you know, purported lower prices are not necessarily the only thing that people care about in books. They care about all these other things, the beauty, the discovery. And then there's that concept of animal spirits in economics, that people don't always act purely in their best economic interest. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're walking down the street and mm-hmm. you see a coffee shop, you weren't thinking that you were going to get coffee. You just go get some coffee anyway, even if it costs you $3. And sometimes people are in a store and they just buy something because they discover it there. They found it there and they want their store to be there next time. They need to stumble on something.
I love the description on your California Bookstore Day website when it says, independent bookstores are lively performance spaces. I love this the best. And quiet places where aimless perusal is a day well spent. It almost makes you feel calm just reading that line.
Yeah, and they are sort of you know, safe spaces and communities to go and be.
And I understand you have funny stories about people just perusing, and you go up and say, "Are you okay? Do you need help?" And they say, "I'm just looking around." Right?
Yeah, they'll wander up and down aisles. That's how you discover. When you mentioned that earlier, that's the whole online experience and reading on screens and trying to find what you want. I mean, just. The presentation in a bookstore and having it categorized lovingly so you can find and discover. Like, it's really a lot about discovery, and I think bookstores really help you discover your next book.
That is Paul Curatolo. He was just 7 years old when he started working at Walden Pond Books, which was opened by his father on Grand Avenue in Oakland in 1973. 40 years and 2 locations later, he's now general manager and still working with his father. Pete Mulvihill is co-owner of Green Apple Books in San Francisco's Richmond District. And Casey Cunerty Prati is the second-generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. And today we are talking about Independent Bookstores and California Bookstore Day, 93 bookstores up and down the state will be celebrating on Saturday. And you can find links to the stores that are participating at yourcallradio.org. And we'd love to hear from you. What is your favorite bookstore and why? What does your bookstore add to your community? And if you've lost an independent bookstore recently, what's really changed? You can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And if you work in the book industry, what changes have you seen over the last couple of years? Again, according to bookstore owners, there are more independent bookstores this year than there were last year in California. The email is feedback@yourcallradio.org. You can also leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. Why don't you all talk a little bit about how you got into working in bookstores. Casey, I was struck by the fact that so many of the employees at Bookshop Santa Cruz have been there for decades. How did you get involved?
Well, my parents bought the store in 1973, and my mom was pregnant with my older brother, and I came a couple years after that. And so I really grew up in the stacks of the bookstore. You know, I was shelving probably earlier than I'm supposed to be, learning that, but it's a good way to learn the alphabet. And I really went through with the store from the very beginning. I went away for many years and went to college and graduate school and even worked in another industry, but I always felt the pull of what the bookshop meant in Santa Cruz, doing something that I believed in as my job, the center, the place it had in the community, kind of the intersection of business, but also downtown and a public space and those types of things. And I really just felt a calling to go back. And I had seen it go through a lot of trials and tribulations. We went through the earthquake in 89 that destroyed our building. And we worked out of a tent for 3 years. And our community just came out and supported us time and again and again. And it just makes you want to be involved because you love it as much as your community loves it. And it's a great place to be every day.
And why do you stay? I mean, how has this whole experience really affected your life?
It's a great place to be every single day. There's new books every single day. Your customers come in and you have a real relationship with them. It's not an exchange of money for goods. It's really much more than that. There's a sense of ownership in the community, and so you're all in it together. I can't imagine a more supportive place to do business. I have two young kids, which is hard to be a working mom, you know, and balance all of that, but I couldn't imagine a better place for them to grow up than a place surrounded with books and people that have known them since their birth and customers that ask me how they're doing because we have that much of an intimate relationship.
And that's Casey Cunardi Prati, second-generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. And Pete, you're co-owner of Green Apple. You've been there since 1999. How did you get involved?
I sort of fell into it. I moved to San Francisco right out of college thinking I'd get into journalism. So it's an interesting parallel, I think, between the struggles of newspapers and journalism and bookstores. I fell into it as a temp, actually. I was hired to help out the bookkeeper for a couple weeks. And he liked me. He told the owner that, you know, if there was another place in the store. And so gradually over time, I worked my way up, and the owner was looking to retire. He asked me and two of my now business partners if we wanted to buy the store from him. Of course, we made bookseller wages, so we sort of said, how the heck are we going to do that, which he, of course, had thought of. And so over a gradual 10-year period, we gradually bought the store from him, and we completed that process about 5 or 6 years ago.
And Paul, we know that you were seven when you started working at Walden Pond Books, mm-hmm. which was opened by your father in Oakland in 1973, and you're still there. What keeps you there?
It seems to be my destiny and my calling. In fact, since I've been in the business with my father for just about as long as he's been in the business, maybe two, he's been two more years because he managed the Free Press bookstore in Hollywood in the 70s. I want to double him up, or, you know, I want to be there when I'm 86 and, you know, work there for 80 years. it's a really unique and wonderful experience to have gone through all the changes of a business, the growing of a business, the changing landscape of book selling. And as Casey was mentioning, the mixture of knowing your customers and they know you and your kids and your kids growing up there, and great staff that's been around for years becoming friends. So it's continues to be a great ride. It's a tight cash flow business. It's not easy at all. There's only about 2 weeks of the year where you can kind of have a nice sigh of relief at maybe Christmas time. But besides those headaches, it's wonderful.
Well, we have an email from Sheila who says, "So glad you're spotlighting this most important resource in every community. People in independent bookstores really know their business, and sharing that takes place with the staff is a gift to all of us. One that we are fast losing here in Berkeley, public libraries." Is public library staff is being cut and everything is becoming self-service. When I went to library school, the emphasis was on a service model. It's very sad that this is being de-emphasized everywhere except in our local independent bookstores. She writes, "My favorite here in Berkeley is Moe's. It's the best of the best. Go all you independent bookstores. The more the merrier. It makes for a richer community."
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. You were shaking your head, Pete, when I read that about libraries.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen in the public library in my neighborhood has reduced hours over time. It sounds like maybe with the upturn in the economy, they're trying to restore some of that. They're trying to make more and more libraries 7 days a week. But I've gone with my kids, after school or around the weekend thinking, let's just go pick up a movie or let's, borrow a fresh book. Even though I own a bookstore, I see the value of borrowing a book instead of buying one sometimes. I know I probably shouldn't say that on the air. But if libraries hadn't existed and that somebody was proposing this right now, we bookstore owners would be up in arms, I'm sure. But libraries are wonderful community centers that are open to everybody. They have such a wide variety of resources. It's tough when libraries close. It's a safe place for people.
Well, thank you for the email, Sheila. And Zach writes, "I want to give a shout out to Mockingbird Used Books in Sebastopol. It's the same owner that had the Copperfields Used Bookstore, which closed. Great prices and an excellent selection. It's also a beautiful store." Thank you for the email, Zach. And you can email us feedback@yourcallradio.org, or you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. How have bookstores affected and changed your life? And what do your bookstore in your area, if you're lucky enough to have one, how does it affect your community? Let's hear from Cynthia in San Francisco. Hi, Cynthia. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I wanted to give a shout out to a Green Apple bookstore related business, La Promenade. La Promenade is a local coffee shop in my neighborhood, and they have a relationship with Green Apple in which they sell books. And so that's been a wonderful thing for me, just really surprising, and it's great. And I'd also like to just mention that creating community through tactile book-related DIY events, bookbinding, illuminated manuscripts, relationships with organizations that do that, Friends of Calligraphy, the SF Center for the Book, Society for Creative Anachronism, might also be a way of creating more community, either at the bookstore itself or at affiliated coffee shops that sell the books. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, there's a lot of incredible literary organizations here. Litquake is wonderful. The public library is One City, One Book. We have an embarrassment of riches. There's a beautiful fine press in the Presidio that still founds their own type. So they actually melt lead down and create letters to then create books. It's an incredible place. They do tours once a week. The Bay Area is rich with this, including local publishers, both small like McSweeney's and big, powerful ones like Chronicle Books that create really fun books, a lot of locally based things. So it's a rich place for sure.
Yeah, and we're still lucky to have readings almost every night.
We had that for years, and we luckily got to turn we have a rare book room now that we used to have the readings because we needed a good space for those books. So unfortunately, our store is not able to do those anymore, but it is rich in the Bay Area. There's lots of Bay Area authors and tours. But we do go to all and sell books at the KPFA events. Those are really wonderful Bay Area author events that I encourage people to look into.
For some stores, the events are the bread and butter. I'm sure Casey can speak to this, but I know like Book Passage in Marin, they do something like 700 events.
That's amazing.
A year. So
have a full catalog just for their events.
Yeah, it's amazing. But Casey could probably speak to this too.
Yeah, Casey?
Yeah, we have an incredible lineup of events. We don't have quite like Book Passage, just because we, you know, they have a dedicated space and they have multiple classes going on at once. But, you know, last year alone, we had Michael Pollan and Khaled Husseini and Isabel Yande and David Sedaris and Ann Patchett, and had all of these people come to Santa Cruz. And people came from all over the Bay Area to see some of their favorite authors and to hear from them, get books signed. And it's one of the best things about a bookstore is that dialogue that's created at author events. And that could go for these big authors as well as, you know, a small local author who wrote a history of our yacht harbor who was at the store this week. It's a place where people can come together and have a sense of community discussing the books that they love, meeting the authors. And it's one of the real ways that the publishers demonstrate their support for independent bookstores, because primarily when publishers send out authors to bookstores, it's to independent bookstores. And it's one of the ways that they're recognizing, you know, our place in the community and how important it is.
All right. Well, thanks again for calling in, Cynthia. Let's go next to Nancy in Berkeley. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I've lived in Berkeley since 1961, and to me, a community that doesn't have an independent bookstore is really a disaster. And I always buy my books from independent bookstores, and I deal a lot with Green Apple and Pegasus because I sell books. And I just think that, you know, those bookstores are just fantastic. It's just, you know, independent bookstores is just the way to go. My kids were brought up, you know, with these stores, and I really miss Black Oak Books that used to be on Solano Avenue, because it was a really big store, so they had a lot of room for book readings, and I miss that, because I do go to Book Passage in Corte Madera, but it is a trek, and I wish that, you know, that that, you know, bookstores had more room for book readings. I mean, we really miss Cody's a lot too, and it's always very sad when a really wonderful independent bookstore closes. It's just, you know, the community just loses so much when that happens.
Yeah, well, lucky for us, there are now more independent bookstores in California this year than there were last year.
Yeah, and I want to put a plug in for Shakespeare Books also on Telegraph Avenue. They're having a kind of a rough time right now. It's sad, you know, because I know these bookstores just really struggle. It's hard, but I'm so glad to see that they're still there.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling, Nancy. We have time for one more caller before break. Let's hear from Paul in Vallejo. Hi, Paul.
Hello. This is Paul with Displaced San Franciscan, living in Vallejo, just 50 minutes by ferry to downtown San Francisco.
Oh.
And we are proud to say that we have a new bookstore in our downtown called Coham Press.
It
just
cool.
opened up.
Oh, that's great.
And they went through Kickstarter, got funding. It's small, but it's there, and we're very happy about it.
That's so great. And how did the community get involved? Obviously, they donated through Kickstarter. But does
right.
it?
They donated through Kickstarter, and we've had several events there already. When I say we, I mean the community. Been some local authors speaking, just as the other bookstore owners have said. And when I was living in San Francisco, I was there when Green Apple Books opened up. I watched its progress, and it's wonderful that it's still there.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Paul. Thank you. Today on Your Call, we are marking California Bookstore Day. 93 bookstores up and down the state will be celebrating, and you can find out who's participating at yourcallradio.org. We'll talk about some of the events that are happening after the break. Today, we're joined by Casey Coonerty-Prati with Bookshop Santa Cruz, Pete Mulvihill, Green Apple Books, and Paul Curatolo, Walden Pond Books. And what does your bookstore add to your community, and how have you been affected by your local bookstore? We'll be back after this.
This is Your Call on KALW, a show that relies on engaged listeners. We invite you to join today's conversation by calling 866 866-798-TALK. It's a toll-free call, 866-798-8255, or you can post your question or comment on the website, yourcallradio.org. Coming up in 30 minutes from the BBC, it's World Have Your Say, following that at noon, Bina, and then this afternoon at 1, Open Air with David LaTulipe.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. We'll have a conversation with journalist Shane Bauer and Sarah Shord about their new book, Sliver of Light, Three Americans Imprisoned in Iran. Their experience with solitary confinement in the notorious Evin prison led to their reporting on the human impacts of solitary confinement here in the United States. So how do you assess media coverage of the massive prison system in the United States? And then on Monday, we will mark the 60-year anniversary of Brown v. Board of Education by talking about segregation in schools today. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are celebrating California Bookstore Day. On Saturday, 93 bookstores up and down the state will be celebrating by hosting events, having readings. There's a lot of things going on. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. Organizers describe independent bookstores as community centers and local anchors run by passionate readers. And they're also, I love this one, quiet places where aimless perusal is a day well spent. Today we're joined by Casey Coonerty Prati, second-generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. Pete Mulvihill is co-owner of Green Apple Books in San Francisco's Richmond District. And Paul Curatolo was just 7 when he started working at Walden Pond Books, which was opened by his dad on Grand Avenue in Oakland in 1973. And 40 years later, Paul is now general manager and still working with his father at this landmark neighborhood business. And you can join us at 866-798-8255. How has a bookstore changed your life? And what does your bookstore add to your community? 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. We've got an email from Carl who says, Green Apple and Bookshop Santa Cruz are two of my favorite places to, quote, waste time. I wonder if your guests could talk a little bit about the process of categorization and display. It seems that could be complicated regarding books that fall between categories. For example, as a physicist, I used to really love that the buyers and display people at Cody's used to really know physics, including boundary areas. My first clue that Cody's was toast was when that all fell apart, as evidenced by the organization on the shelves. Interesting question. Casey, do you want to talk about the process behind categorizing books and displaying them?
Sure. I mean, our buyer is the person who really chooses the initial category, but I have to say that we've had major battles within the store over whether to put a book in this category versus that category, and especially if both booksellers love that book and they want it in their own section. But I think the way that Bookshop has done it that is really important to us is a lot of stores take the hardcover books, the new books that are out, and they just categorize them and put them, you know, take the new history book and put it in history, or take the new science book and put it in science. And what Bookshop decided to do and have always held to is we have this, the entire center of the store and a huge wall along the center of the store is filled with all of the new hardcovers, and they're all mixed together. And in part, we do that because we don't want customers to come in and have to make up their mind about what genre they want to read. You know, if they want to go, and I only like science books, so I'm going to go read science. We want them to be browsing a table or browsing a wall with all the new hardcover books and maybe see something that they piques their interest, and they start to pick it up and they start to read it. And guess what? It's in a completely different category than anything they've ever thought about reading before. And that is, I think, that and the staff recommendations that we do, those walls where people take together all different books from different sections, is really the heart and soul of that discovery that we spoke about earlier.
And Paul, do you want to talk about how Walden does that?
Sure. I mean, it is retail, so you're kind of stuck with your space and what shelving that you've decided to do. But like Bookshop Santa Cruz, we like to show off the new things, so our regular customers can come to the new hardcover releases for fiction and nonfiction, or the new paperback releases. We like to put those, you know, front and center, so you can see it constantly. What's the newest thing in our newest Shelf Talker recommendations and reviews and what we've read. You try to make your store flow so that your thought process might go, oh, I'm into this idea, and right, you know, like science might be right next to psychology, or gardening might be right next to a home decorating or something when you're working on your home. So you just try to make the flow of the store feel like it's just going to keep moving you around, and each section might feed on the next section. And that's what we do.
And your bookstore, again, is named Walden Pond. So how do you infuse nature books? Do they stand out more than others in the bookstore?
I think all Bay Area, you know, the Bay Area is very progressive and eco-friendly, and I don't know if it's a super specialty of ours, but, you know.
How did your dad come up with that name?
It was actually his girlfriend's mother at the time, because they struggled to put together enough money, I guess, to open one shop. It was a plant store and a bookstore for the first year. And so she just hit on, you know, the theme of Thoreau's Walden as a mixture of literature and the plants. And so that worked out, and that's how it got started. For years, everybody would call my dad Mr. Walden. His name's Marshall. And then, you know, after about 2 years, they were able to have the two stores next to each other. And it just kind of grew from there. We've had two locations on the same block. And, you know, some of the staying in business for bookstores is kind of luck. You can do all you can, but kind of the luck of, you know, how did your neighborhood develop? Or it could, and some great bookstores have done everything right except for the rent issue, where they couldn't get a new lease, or they just got pushed out. Black Oaks building on Solano is still empty, as far as I can tell. Hmm. I don't know, you know.
I often wonder, because when you look at the price of a book, you know, $24.95 is average for a hardcover. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many books do you have to sell to make your rent and be able to pay your employees a month?
A number? A whole lot.
A lot, right?
It is sort of a volume game.
Yeah, and I think most independents now, unless you really find a niche market, you have to have the used book market as well. Hmm. There is more margin in used books, but it also allows your customers to buy new and come back and trade them in and bring them in. And it allows you to compete with online discounters, because a used book price is this, you know, is a much better deal, and it's very ecological to do that.
And it's nice to actually see it.
And you get
right?
the book right away. You don't have to wait a couple days. Yeah.
Right.
And you see all the old editions. If you come in, you know, if you get Sunrise Rises by Hemingway, I mean, we could have a 1940s hardcover on the shelf for $10. We could have the new, you know, Signet paperback. You get all these different varieties of, and you won't see that at Barnes & Noble and stuff like that. They just have the current edition. Mm-hmm. It's not the one you had when you were a kid and stuff like that.
That is Paul Curatolo. He's general manager of Walden Pond Books, still working with his father. He started working there when he was 7 in 1973. Walden Pond is in Oakland. Pete Mulvihill is co-owner of Green Apple Books in San Francisco's Richmond District. He's been co-owner since 1999. And Casey Coonerty Prati is the second-generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. And today we're talking about California Bookstore Day. This Saturday, 93 bookstores up and down the state will be celebrating. And you can find more information at yourcallradio.org. And we've got full lines, so let's hear from Sharon in Redwood City. Hi, Sharon. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. I did send an email in, too, so don't repeat it.
Okay.
It's the same thing. I called, first of all, to answer the woman in Berkeley who was looking for more events, and she slept the book passage. My daughter is in her second year at Cal, and every time I visit her, I try and hit a new independent bookstore, and I have not hit them all yet. So she's got tons of places to go. I also work part-time for Books, Inc. in Palo Alto, and Books, Inc. in Berkeley on 4th Street has lots of events. Moe's Bookstore has lots of events. Mrs. Dalloway's has lots of events. So she should get on the email list for these bookstores, and she'll find she's got tons of stuff locally.
Okay.
I run a Bay Area Children's Lit email list, and I keep people in the loop on Children's Lit events. I'm sending out emails 6 days a week.
Wow.
We live in the best place ever.
Yeah. Pretty lucky. Thank you, Sharon. And we'll put a link on the website. Well, actually, your website, cabookstoreday.com, has a great map of all the bookstores in the state. So you can also check that out. Thank you for calling. Let's go next to Paul in Berkeley. Hi, Paul.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to reiterate what a treat it is to be able to peruse a bookstore, like any good reference material, individual book. It just is unmatched, unmatchable when compared to a boring Google search. But also, there's a couple of new things. First of all, Moe's Books seems to be a thriving enterprise. How in such a business are they? Do they manage to do so well? I wonder if anybody has any insights. And there seems to be a number of book depositories where people can just drop their books off and pick up free books, and the books are stamped and don't resell. And is that considered a new business model or a threat to the?
Well, it's not a business at all. I think it's just that's book sharing at its most pure. To back up to the Moe's question, I think people vote with their wallets every day. Every decision you make on where you buy something affects the landscape around you. So the reason that these bookstores are still here is because all of these callers who are speaking passionately about the bookstores that they love actually go there, and they buy things. There was a study done a few years ago that was comparing what they called mind share to market share, and independents were something like 10% of the book market in the country. But when you ask somebody, where do you want to buy your next book, it was triple that or something. So people really, they think, I want to go to the bookstore. They intend to go to the bookstore. And then I don't know what happens. They get lazy or something. But all these callers and all the people speaking so passionately about this, they are why these stores are here, because that they vote with their wallets.
And don't you think the economic crisis also really shined a light on this issue, as people were questioning capitalism, I mean, even in the most mainstream circles, and people realized the value of keeping independent stores alive?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
would you say, did you see a shift because of that?
I saw that, I mean, the recession affected all spending, but I it definitely proved that books were at the top of the list for some people, and a lot of people, you know, on top of maybe food and rent sometimes. You know, I'll be a little late on rent. I need some books.
And it does make a huge difference. I think it's important to highlight this. When you decide to buy one book, if you go to an independent bookstore, that makes a really big difference, as opposed to going to some discount store, right?
The local first movement. Go ahead, Casey.
I was going to say, in Santa Cruz, at Bookshop, we started something called the One Book Pledge, because studies were showing that people who passionately supported independent bookstores were still only buying 4 out of 10 books at an independent bookstore. And so we started something saying, we know people have busy lives. We know you can't always get to your independent all of the time. But what happens if you bought just that one more book at an independent bookstore, if you bought that fifth book at an independent bookstore instead of just 4 of the 10? And that would make a huge difference for independent bookstores and their survival. And so we asked our customers to take a pledge to say, once a month, buy that one extra book from us instead of online. And a number of people took that pledge, and, you know, we have buttons that people wear, and it's really become a way of people, you know, recognizing that they don't have to be perfect, but even every little bit helps.
And do we know why people make this decision, like, buy 4 out of 10? Is it just maybe they're at Costco or something and they pick up a book? Is it just convenience? Maybe not thinking about how important it is to buy the extra book at an independent?
I most of our customers are now aware of, you know, if you shop local, the whole independent movement and shop local, your money, your dollar you're spending is going all over your community. It's like 7 times more than if you're shopping online or something like that. The employees are paying taxes in your city. You're generating revenue for your city. It just gets recycled. I think it's like 7 times more. And, it's become really important, because you realize if you don't do that, you're going to lose. You're going to lose the things you love around you.
Yeah, the local first movement has done a lot of studies, economic studies, and I think the figure for $100 spent at a locally owned independent store, $67 recirculates. If it's at a chain store, which we talked a lot about 10 years ago, it's about $43. And if it's online, it's, you know, it's nearly zero. The UPS driver gets paid, and that's about it. So people do seem to get that shop local message. The locally owned Merchants Association of San Francisco did a study 5 or 6 years ago that looked at what would happen if people spent 10% more money at the local in the local economy instead of at a chain. And one example would be if you drive every day and you stop to get a cup of coffee at Starbucks, if one out of 10 days you went a block out of your way and got it at a locally owned cafe, and the data showed that it would create 3,000 jobs with no more spending by anybody. Nobody spends a penny more. It would create 3,000 more jobs and several hundred million dollars in increased economic activity.
Wow.
So it really is powerful.
It really makes a huge difference. That's Pete Mulvihill, co-owner of Green Apple Books in San Francisco's Richmond District. Casey Coonerty Prati is the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz, and Paul Curatolo is general manager of Walden Pond Books in Oakland. And we have, let's go to our next caller, Bob Fisher.
Yay.
Who's a partner with Paul at Walden Pond. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I've been listening to you. You guys are so serious.
Not really.
What's all this about corporatist takeover? Where is that coming from?
Are you calling?
I just want to sell books.
Are you calling to get me back to the shop? What do I got to do now?
Well, no. Remember, every day I call you to give you our top 10 list.
Yes. Bob Fisher is amazing.
Well, I got it.
Do you want to share a few?
Oh, yeah.
Number one this week, Stendhal's The Red and the Black. 87 copies, Paul.
Wow. There must be a couple classes who need that this week.
Telling people it's the sequel to 50 Shades of Grey.
What is that about?
Actually, the top-selling book at Walden Pond Books, all kidding aside, is Franz Bengtson's The Long Ships.
That is Bob's. That's the secret of an independent bookstore right there. That is a wonderful historical novel. It's one of Bob's favorite novels. And tell them why that's our bestseller, Bob.
It's one of those rare books, and I think every bookseller looks for books like these, that makes everybody just sit back and go, wow, I have to tell everybody about this book. It's one of the great novels of all time, and very few people know about it.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
I know. Very few people have, but we have multiple customers who come back after they've read that book and buy multiple copies as gifts.
Wow.
Which is what I used to do years ago when it was out of print and hard to find. Thank God it's back in print.
Great. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
All righty. Paul, I have to go back. I have a customer waiting.
Okay.
You know our customer service comes first.
It does. Get back there.
Thanks. I'll let you guys know.
Thank you, Bob. That's Bob Fisher, partner with Paul over at Walden Books in Oakland. Thank you, Paul. I'm sorry, Bob.
He took us to the next level, by the way. I just lucked in getting that guy about 6 years ago, and he just dovetailed into he has such a history of book collecting and reading and salesmanship. And we were at a place where, you know, what do I need to change? And I didn't maybe have all the answers. So thank you very much, Bob, for coming into our lives.
And we have been speaking about this on a very serious and analytical level, but it is a very passionate person-to-person exchange that happens, you know, in these stores hundreds of times a day all over the state. So it really is, it's a very personal thing. It's a very passionate thing. You read a book that you love and you just can't not talk about it, which I think we're hearing from a lot of your listeners.
And the Saturday, the California Bookstore Day, is all fun. It's just going to be a blast everywhere. It's going to be a lot of, you know, just, I mean, we have face painting and beer and trivia night. And, you know, there's different, I think Pete has a taco truck and, you know, all different things going on. It's just going to be a big fun party at every bookstore this Saturday.
Yeah, tell us more about that because we've got a bunch of calls and emails. We'll probably end with those. But to make sure we save some time for you to all describe what's happening
on
Saturday.
I don't even need to speak about my store. We've got a bunch of different authors coming and fun things. But some of the things that I've heard from other stores in the Bay Area, one of my favorites is The Books, Inc. in the Castro is having a drag queen grown-up story time. You know, so this, you know, these stores reflect their communities. Hickleby's, an all-children's store, or mostly children's store in San Jose, has come up with Bookstore Day scratchers. They sort of took the cute little Bookstore Day bear that was created for this day, and they created little scratchers. So people can scratch a ticket and win a free book or win a discount. Book Passage is doing fun stuff. They have a soapbox reading, so basically people can just get up and read whatever they want. Diesel in Oakland is doing mac and cheese and local brews. So there's all these kind of ties Sacramento communities. And I think you mentioned, Rose, that you're going north this weekend. And
yeah.
Gallery Books in Mendocino has the first 20 people every hour get something fun, whether it's a champagne cocktail or, you know, meatballs. She's basically doing one thing every hour. So there's people have just that's one of the really fun things about the day is there is this uniformity of the 13 things that we're selling, the books, wonderful books and art pieces. But each store can also do whatever the hell they want, however the hell they do it best.
Love it.
Yeah, and someday hopefully it's bigger than Record Store Day.
Yeah. We've got an email that you'll love, Casey, from Dennis, who says, and Dennis, we have Casey Coonerty Prati on from Bookshop Santa Cruz. He wrote, Bookshop Santa Cruz is an amazing example of perseverance. Years ago, Crown Books moved in right across the street. Crown went belly up, but Bookshop survived. Not too many years after that, Borders moved in down the street from Bookshop. Borders is now gone, but Bookshop survives. Long live Bookshop Santa Cruz.
Well, I always feel lucky to be living in Santa Cruz and have the support of the community. We went through so many different periods, which were really tough. And it's just the idea that our community came out again and again and again and kept shopping with us. And that's the only reason why we're still here.
And Paul, you've got kind of a similar situation, right? There's a story of your father having to fight against a Kmart-owned chain named Walden Books. I remember that one. They moved into the neighborhood and tried to bully your dad to change the bookstore name, but your dad stood up against them.
Yeah,
and eventually
lawyer
won.
Letters, threatened lawsuit. Herb Cain jumped on it and wrote about it. It was probably the first real indication that I saw how a community could really rise up and rally for you. There was a big backlash against Walden. Our customers was like, we completely know the difference between our local independent Walden Pond and your chain. And they lasted maybe another year or two there. So that was a wonderful expression from our community that supported us at that time. And we were able to keep our name, as long as we don't become a chain.
Well, thank you for the email. And Elka writes, I grew up in a very rural community in northern Wisconsin, and my first time in a wonderful independent bookstore was when I was 14, visiting A Room of One's Own, a feminist bookstore in Madison. This store's wonderfully selected books and welcoming atmosphere, as well as friendly, knowledgeable staff, helped me to grow as both a reader and a young feminist. And A Room of One's Own is still going strong and doubled its size last year. Oh, I love that. I love that story. Thank you, Elka. Is the feminist bookstore in New York still going strong? Red Stockings, I think it's called.
I don't know.
I hope it is.
I know there are a number of them. Women and Children First in the Midwest. And yeah.
There's still a few feminist bookstores around. That's great. Well, thank you for calling in. We have time for a few more callers. Let's hear from Alex in San Francisco. Hi, Alex.
Hi. I just called to ask if anybody is interested in buying my books. I got thousands of books. Most of them, you know, literature, politics, science, current books that are classic, basically, and I can't bring them to the store. Is it possible if somebody to come to my place and look at the books?
Many bookstores like, you know, Walden Pond, probably Green Apple, Moe's, just give them a call, schedule something. They'll come to your home, tell you what they see, and they'll take what's good.
That's great. How often does that happen?
A couple times a month, you know. Sometimes it's whole collections. People are moving. Unfortunately, sometimes people have passed away and people are dealing with those. So it's great.
All right. Well, thank you for calling. And if you need some of the phone numbers, stay on the line and we'll be happy to help you out. Thank you for calling in, Alex. Let's go to Marie Louise in Palo Alto. Hi, Marie Louise. Welcome to the show.
Hello. I just want to tell you of a bookstore in Palo Alto, which has been here for, I believe it's about 78 years. It's called Bell's Books. And the staff is wonderful, and they select books that you'd have a very hard time find other places for children, which is one thing that I really, really appreciate. And that is not to say that they don't select wonderful books for adults as well. The store, for me, it is like walking into a wonderful old bookstore, maybe in New York, with tall bookshelves and tall ladders, of course, in order for them to reach the books. And I have a very keen sense of smell. And when one goes into a store like that, it's really so wonderful, like taking a long, long step back in time to smell wonderful old books. Mm. And they sell new books as well as old books. and they would also, I would imagine, you know, buy from you if anybody wanted to sell their books. But it's a treasure place in Palo Alto. So
well,
who've forgotten it, or those who don't go. Emerson Street, they don't miss it.
Well, it sounds wonderful. Thank you for calling in. Well, we've got a few more plugs. Karen writes, she loves Bird and Beckett in Glen Park. The owner, Eric, schedules live jazz, poetry readings, lots of fantastic books as well. We have a number of emails giving Green Arcade a huge shout-out over on Market Street in San Francisco. They have a lot of great books about California history and the environment. And then Leslie says the only bookstore in Carmel is a family-owned store with community involvement and events, Pilgrim's Way on Dolores near Fifth. Thank you so much for that. And Pete, you just grabbed some of the posters and books and things that'll be shared this Saturday.
Yeah, I brought sort of a show and tell, which of course on radio is a little rough, but just to mention, there are these 13 books, mostly books and art pieces really, that have been created through amazing generosity from authors and publishers. And some of the things I brought is, it's a book of three panel book reviews. So they're sort of like, you know, think of a comic strip in a newspaper. These are book reviews in just three panels, because two panels isn't enough, and four is too many, says Mo Willems in the foreword. George Saunders did a graduation speech about a year ago that's now a book, and the publisher created a one-of-a-kind edition, a hardcover, only for these bookstores. Each one is signed, numbered, and doodled in.
Oh, that's great.
Which is darling. McSweeney's created a two-foot-tall I guess art piece.
Wow.
About bookstores. They picked sort of 10 writers from their stable.
Oh, that's great.
And each wrote a piece about bookstores. We have a print from Lemony Snicket that reads, "Live the bookish life. There is nothing to lose but boredom and nothing to fear except paper cuts." signed and numbered artwork by Seth. A local studio in the Outer Sunset created a literary map of California that shows the settings for 24 different books up and down the state. And then there's a number of other things. There's a Michael Pollan recipe book, recipes from Michael Pollan's kitchen. We have, I think the most unusual item is a graffiti stencil with a Don DeLillo quote that says, "California deserves whatever it gets," which we thought was hilarious. So we are having fun with it for sure.
And yeah, you've really gone to great lengths to put this together, because this material is so well done.
And here's where I absolutely positively must give credit to the producer who did all this. Yes, it was my idea and I own a bookstore, but Samantha Shea did everything from, you know, trying to herd 93 independent bookstores to agree on anything is a feat in and of itself. But then the quality of these artworks, the generosity of the publishers and her ability to make it desirable to booksellers has really been amazing.
And it's going down south all the way up north.
Yeah.
93 stores up and down
up
the
and
state.
Down. Yep.
That's great. And you can find more information about the bookstores that are participating, and be sure to spread the word about California Bookstore Day on Saturday. Pete Mulvihill is co-owner of Green Books in San Francisco. Casey Coonerty Prati is second-generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. And Paul Curatolo is general manager of Walden Pond. He started working there with his father when he was just 7. Thank you all for coming in. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. And thank you for listening. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call. On the next Your Call, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. This week, we'll have a conversation with journalist Shane Bauer and Sarah Short about their new book, Sliver of Light, Three Americans Imprisoned in Iran. Their experience with solitary confinement in the notorious Evin prison in Iran has led to their reporting on the human impacts of solitary confinement and U.S. prisons. So how do you assess media coverage of the massive prison system in the United States? Join the conversation on the next Your Call with Holly Kernan and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter, or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. And Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.